Good morning, everyone. It's good to... You're a pastor, I tell you. Let me turn this thing on. A couple of things I want to mention before we get started, unless I forget. The one song they sung about, "Where We'll Never Grow Old," that we sung. Wow. I've been growing old for 200 years, long time. But to imagine of a place, a time where there is no time, where we're young, and we're smiling, and we're happy, no evil there at all. Brother Stan, I'm looking forward to that. I'll tell you what. No more crying, no more pain, no more sorrow. What a wonderful, wonderful place we're headed. Kind of makes all the trials and tribulations of this life not really worth it, but I can overlook it because I've got a place waiting for me, as Jesus said, not made with hands. He said before he left, "I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I'll come again and receive you unto myself. There where I am, there you may be also." Well, if he's been working on that for 2,000 years, I tell you what, it's going to be quite a... Because he was God. He spoke things into existence. I get really homesick. There was a preacher down, he's passed on now. Down, he lived in Georgia, not too far from my daughter down there. And the first time I heard him preach was in Springfield at the True Oak Baptist Church where my dad was a charter member there. He got preaching, he got talking about, he said, "You know, sometimes when I have a funeral," he did a lot of funerals when he lived in Kentucky, "about all the people that he knew that were saved. They had a testimony. They talked about that when they died, they knew where they were going to go." And he said, when he'd walk by their casket, he said, "I'd almost become..." I know we're not supposed to envy, but he said, "They're almost envious because he knew where they were. He was have no more pain, no more sorrow, no more crying, no more brokenhearted." Satan is not able, once that happened, will never be able to bring up your past. You ever thought about that? Does he bring up your past? Oh, he does me. I spend a lot of time alone anymore, and it seemed like I'm going to have to quit that, because that's when Satan says, "You remember when you said that? You remember when you thought that? You remember when you did that?" Yeah. But Satan, you remember when God kicked you out of heaven? You know your destiny is a place called hell? So just get thee behind me. The second thing is the song "Farther Along." Uncle Bill Lee was my dad's brother, but Uncle Bill was my grandfather's brother, and he was a song leader at Schofield Baptist Church over here in Polk County, where my family's most of them buried. And he was a song leader there, and there'd be a lot of Sundays when he would ask for a song, and nobody had one. Well, we'd go to "Farther Along" every single time. He had that page memorized. You'd see him, he'd go, "He won a number." Nobody'd say anything. Page 300 and what it was. And he turned to it. And there it was. "Tempted and tried, we're oft made to wonder why it should be thus all the day long." Yeah, I do that. But you know, I got a Savior that's taking care of me. "Well, Brother Nicodemus, you said that you're sick and you've got these problems in your health and your back hurts." And this. Well, that's just part of living in this sinful world. I'm going to lay that down one day. I'm going to a place. Yeah, Mom and Dad's there and Grandma and Grandpa's there. And most of all, Jesus is there. And I'm really looking forward to that. If I could just bow down and put my face on his feet and just thank him through all eternity for what he did for me that night back in 1965. His little 10-year-old boy. Whoops, that aged me, didn't it? But anyway, let's get into the Word of God today. Call your attention to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, that's over in the New Testament. This is a letter, of course, to the Church of Philippi. And there's one verse I want to pull out of there that came to me 2 days ago. Very short verse. I've heard it preached on before a lot of times. The chapter 4, verse 4. It says, "Rejoice in the Lord always." And again, I say, rejoice. The devil would say, "What you got to rejoice about? We're at war. We got a lot of bad things going on. We've got ICE agents running around trying to get all those people that got into the United States illegally. A lot of diseases and heart problems. But I can rejoice in the Lord, and you know why? Because in 1964, and I wasn't in an altar of prayer, but as far as I was concerned, I was in an altar of prayer. I was actually sitting on this side of the building there at True Hope in the back, and we got there late that night because Dad worked a lot, and the preacher preached, and everything he preached seemed to come to me. I know that Brother Junior wasn't, you know, staring at me and calling my name out. But the Lord was directing His word towards me that I might understand that either I need to repent or perish. Yes, I was what Baptists and even the Bible, even Jesus calls being lost. I was outside the ark of safety. I was outside of the realm of Jesus Christ. I was... And to be honest about it, I was a child of the devil. So I wasn't a child of the King. I was a child of the devil. But I had a God that cared enough for me and began to beckon me. But the Bible says, "No man can come unto me except he sent me draw him." Who sent? And that was Jesus. He was drawing me unto His Son because His Son's the one that had the salvation. He's the one that died on the cross for me. He's the one that pulled me out of the miry clay and set me upon a rock and established my goings. I'm so thankful that night when peace come to my soul. It wasn't that some people shout. You may have, when you got saved, you may have shouted all over the house. I didn't. But your salvation not any better than mine, and mine not even better than yours. Because if God does, He does it right the first time. Some people say, "Well, you can lose it." I can't find it, because I'm going to read to you some verses here in a minute that I feel like verifies that once God has you, He has you. Let's go to the book of Romans chapter 8. Book of Romans chapter 8, starting with verse 35. It says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ?" That's the first question that Paul is saying here to the church at Rome. What is going to separate us from the love of Christ? Can you do something to separate you from the love? No. My dad loved me. Yeah, I did. He always said he was hard on me and my brother. Yeah, I said, "Well, it just stunted my growth." And me and my brother are both taller than my dad was. He was 5-something, and me, I'm 6-something. But He still loved me, although I was His son, and I did Him wrong. Though that He would say, "Don't do that," and I go ahead and do it anyway. Why? Because I have a sinful nature. The Bible said you're few days and full of trouble. You come from your mother's womb speaking lies. I didn't really realize that we had our first child. And in the middle of the night, I'd hear a baby crying. Thought, "Oh, she's just hurt." You go in there and pick her up, and she'd stop. Of course, we were new parents. I had never held a baby till I held mine. And I love her with all my heart. She's 700 miles that way in another state. But although that I love her with all my heart, I know she lied to me when she was laying there just a bawling and crying like she was hurting. And as soon as you picked up, it's okay. One night she was fussing and crying, and I was trying to work. You know, I was working the grocery business back then, so that's hard work. I don't know if you've ever worked in the grocery store. I know one guy did. And it can be hard work, especially when you're pulling a 2,000-pound pile of sugar. But I do know that she was lying to me. Because as soon as I picked her up, she'd stop. One morning, like I said, I was working the grocery business and tired. And she woke up, was bawling, and my wife had just had so much. And I said, I'll go get her. So I took her in there. I thought she wanted to be fed. No, she wanted to play. She laid on my lap, on her back, with her feet in the air, and she lied to me. There was nothing wrong. She wasn't hurting. She was just wanting to play. There's a lot of times that I know that I have not done God right, not done Jesus right. But you know, He still loves me, so let me continue to read that. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? That's about sums it up, doesn't it? What can separate us? And anything can I do? Can war? Can I get mad at my wife? Can I get mad at my children? Can I get mad at my government? Can I soul up like a spoiled brat and be mad about something? He still loves me. It is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all things we are more than what? If you've got your Bibles open, look at that word. We are more than conquerors. Through Him that loved us, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor powers, nor thing present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which in Christ Jesus our Lord. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. He loves us. He takes care of us. That heart in your chest right now that's beating, He has given you every beat. He can take that beat away. I know that. I've had heart trouble. One day we're going to get sick and die. Oh, don't be so negative. Well, we are. It's a true fact. We're going to get sick and die. The Bible says that appointed unto man wants to die, and after this, the judgment. Which I'm not really looking forward to that part, because I know a lot of things, and a lot of things I've forgotten that I've done wrong. I blame it on the gray hair, of course. You know, I do that. But rejoice in Him. Rejoice in the Lord. He loves us. There's nothing can take that love away. He is there for us. He's there to protect us. Have you ever, let's say, taken a trip and got down and prayed before you left? And for some unseen reason, it was the best trip you ever had. Why? Because God was with you. When I was working, I did a lot of traveling. I traveled via airplane, east coast, west coast, north, south. There was very few places that we didn't travel when I was working. A lot of times I had to fly on Sundays, and I didn't like that. I'd rather be in church. So what I do is when we get about to 30,000 feet or whatever we traveled at, I say a prayer to God. God, protect me. I apologize for not being in your house, but then I had a Bible I could read. And I realized that He loved me so much that even at 30,000 feet in the air, He was still present in my heart. I still felt Him. I felt that joy unspeakable and full of glory. I understood that He loved me and He cared for me. Again, what's going to take the love of God away from you? Is there anything you do to take that love away? No. Sometimes what you think is because the devil will get in there and go, God didn't care for you. Now, he cares for that person over here and this person over there, but he don't care for you. You're all alone. You ever had Satan tell you that? You don't have any friends. Again, it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. So no matter what you do or where you go, if you have that love of God in your heart, if you've been saved by the grace of God, you've got protection, you've got, and we'll say guardian angels that are there. I'm like the sister, you know, I got allergies in my throat. Well, to be honest, last Monday they ran a thing down to look at my heart. And they sprayed this stuff in my throat and I gagged and it numbed it immediately. And then they put me to sleep. I thought, well, what did you do that for? Just put me to sleep, but don't worry about that. But procedures. But I knew when that medicine started to take over and I started to, I get silly sometimes. Not like your pastor. But when I started to go, I knew it. I could feel it. I go, here we go. And I was out. And I knew that if I didn't wake up here, if I didn't wake up at Wheeler Heart Institute, if I knew that there would be some reason that something went wrong, I would wake up with Jesus Christ. I knew where I was going. I knew what would happen. The Bible said to live is Christ and die is gain. So while I'm here, I've got Jesus. If I die, I've got Jesus. So what's the downside of all this? Nothing. Yeah, you're going to suffer. You're going to have problems. Physical problems, my back hurts, and I got a bad knee, and I had to have my shoulder operated on, wham, wham, wham. But you know, the devil had never got my soul. He can't touch it. It's off limits. You know why? Because it's protected by the Spirit of God. Jesus Christ bought it with His blood, and it belongs to Him, and He belongs to me. For I'm persuaded that neither death or life, nor angels or principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our what? Our Lord. My wife often makes fun of me. I'll say something about, you know, Sarah called Abraham Lord. I'm calling you Lord. But we all both have one Lord. We've been married almost 52 years. That's a long time to be with one woman. And if she was here, she'd say, that's a long time to be with one man. We've had our ups and downs. She's been awfully, as you know, there was a time there where she was awfully sick. Doctors had given up, said, she's not going to make it. But your pastor's wife, we were out in a waiting area, and they were telling us that it just didn't look good. Shirley said, I gotta pray. My sister-in-law, Sheila's sister, said, well, let's hold hands. She goes, no, I gotta get down on my knees. And now that waiting room, people started to gather from outside. They started getting out in the hallways. You should have saw it. It was such a great prayer meeting. Why? Because, for I'm persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels or principalities, nor powers, nor any of the, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's why Sister Shirley knew to get down on her hands and knees. Wasn't funny, but they'd say, well, I was funny thing that right after we had done praying, the doctor came out and said, oh, I found the problem. So we told him, we've been praying. And the doctor was from upstate New York. I don't know, still know anything about his soul. He knows about ours. But one thing he said when he come out, because it was so easy him to find the, she had diverticulitis up in here. It was just bleeding out. He said, you just keep on praying. Ha ha. Yeah. Because, again, nay, in all things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. That day, death didn't conquer Sheila. Oh, they were ready to give up. But she's just bleeding. It was awful. Coming out here and there. It was awful. It was just like a horror movie. But because of the love of God, we can rejoice. He says, rejoice again. I say rejoice. Well, what have I got to rejoice about? That your name's written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. That if you don't make it home today from here, you'll be better off than I am. You'll be in the presence of God. I know that in the Old Testament it says the dead know nothing. I don't understand what happens. I watch my mama die. I watch my daddy die. I watch a lot of people pass away in my life. You do that when you're in the ministry. You're at the hospital a lot. Back then I was anyway. But when that last breath goes, let's use my dad. He was the last one of my parents to go. We were at Cox South up on the fifth floor. We're in a room, just him and all of us family. Because they knew he didn't want to be here. He wanted to be with mom. But I watched him go. That last breath. Yeah, I was sad. That's my daddy. But on the other hand, and just imagine the rejoicing my daddy had when he entered the portals of glory. Rejoice in the Lord. I say again, rejoice. There's no reason not to rejoice. How many times have you went down the road and you see people? When I was a boy, we used to go to Buffalo a lot because I was with my grandparents. Not that mom and dad sent me up there. I liked going to the farm. We'd go walk around the square there in Buffalo, Missouri, and you'd see people. My little grandma, we called her Granny because she looked like Granny Clampett on the Beverly Hillbillies. And she did have her medicine. I'll not go down that road, but she'd go, hi. She saw Mrs. Reed one time. I remember Mrs. Reed. I never did know the lady's first name. Granny always called her Mrs. Reed. Hey, Mrs. Reed, how are you today? Smile on her face. I walked the streets of Philadelphia one time when I was working. They didn't give me a car because I was real close to the bank, but we were downtown Philadelphia, and you know it's like big cities. Skyscrapers are everywhere. Sidewalks are real wide, and people are, and you know, frowns on their face. Well, that one day it was raining. That'd make me frown too. But I got thinking, why live in life so unhappy? Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation, the next verse says, let your moderation be known to all. It says men, but that means ladies too. Let people know about what you got, why you're so happy. You know, I heard a, I'm not mentioning his name, a guy on the news. He was talking about with all that's going on in the world, especially when all the COVID and all that stuff. He said, I'm astonished though when I see Christians, people that know Jesus, it's like, okay. Yeah? He said, I was wondering why they're so happy. How could they be happy in a time of this terrible stuff that's going on in the United States and the world? They're doing what the Bible says. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. When you meet someone on the street and they're, You don't have to say anything to them. Just be that. Let that light inside shine. You know, they used to sing a song, "Let this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine." But to be honest about that, little light isn't little. It's the light of Jesus. And His light shines, even in the darkness. So Elkton Church, I would encourage you to find that verse again. I'm not even going to tell you where it was at. I love to hunt scriptures. I know it in my brain because I've read it. And it's like the part I read to you over in Romans. I get thinking, no, last night. I go, where's that at? I'm going to go look. And as you're looking, you come across all these other verses. All of these promises that God has given to us. Not half-heartedly, but with all that was about God, He has said, rejoice in the Lord always. I'm happy. I may not be. A guy named Brother Jerry Reynolds, he's passed on now. He was from Hope County. He died. He was down in Kentucky. He said, I'm not always overly happy. Just I'm always joyous. Think about that when you leave here. There'll be somebody on the stroller pool in front of you. You ever done that? Especially if you go in Springfield, St. Louis, Kansas City, L.A. I've driven all those places. Orlando. Never drove in New York City, but I have the big town in that state. Phoenix was bad. I had people pull in front of me when I was out there working. My goodness. But it come to me one day, you know why they pulled in front of you? I got thinking, yeah, because they're crazy. They're ornery. No. They pulled in front of you to slow you down because there's an accident out there waiting for you. And if they hadn't pulled in front of you, you would have been in that accident. Do you believe that? I do. That's come to me more than once because I don't like people cutting me off. My little red pickup out there. But you know the bottom line is, if I'm living for God as I should, I'll pray for them. God help them. Hope they don't have a wreck. You ever pray for somebody you just saw on the street and didn't know? Have you ever been going down the highway and get thinking, what if Jesus comes back right now? What if He returns right now while we're over here on 13 Highway between here and Clinton? What about all those people in those cars on the other lane and the ones that are in my lane? I wonder if they're saved by the grace of God. Maybe I should pray for them. Can you pray where you drive? Yes. Can you pull the car over and pray? Yes. This world needs our prayers. He talks about to go into hedges and highways and compel them to come in and all that. That's true. But the bottom line is we can rejoice in the Lord always. We can be a light unto somebody. When we was trading our cars off for my little pickup out there, we had already made the deal, but I was going to go home and go back and get the pickup the next day. We got over on 123 and I had flat on the car I was going to trade in. Oh man, my back just, ugh. So I'm out there and there's a car went by. Whoa. There's going to come back. Guy got out. He said, can I help you fix that tire? He didn't know me from Adam. He didn't know me from anybody. I said, sure. So when it got done, I went and pulled out $40. That's all I had, $20. I'm taking your money. But why not? You stop and you took your time to help me. He let His light shine. It's come to find out, my son-in-law that lives local, his mother knew that guy's mother. Long story. Not going to get into all that. Good Christian family. He let His light shine. Say, I need to stop every time I see somebody along the side of the road. If God tells you to, you better. God bless you, folks. Hope you can rejoice in the Lord today. As far as I know, your good pastor will be back next Sunday. I sure hope so. He needs to be right here. But sometimes a man needs a vacation. He needs to see his boys. He's got, as you know, he's got three living, one that's already in heaven. He needs to get away sometime. In our situation, we can't really travel much anymore with the condition of my wife. So I'll drive to Springfield and come home mad because somebody pulled in front of me. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice.